I'm Sarah.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we're your hosts of the Motherlode podcast. Each week, we'll be getting real with each other, along with some of the world's leading experts in motherhood and women's health, some celeb friends, and fellow mamas to educate, empower, and inspire you along your motherhood journey. From fitness and wellness to full-on mama meltdowns.
Hey, we all have them.
To even the most controversial of issues, we share it all. Welcome to the Motherlode. This podcast is brought to you by Luna Mother Co., the first all-in-one digital platform for motherhood. From fitness and wellness to parenting resources and community, Luna Mother Co. has it all. To learn more, visit www.lunamother.co.
On today's episode, we're talking about the importance of autonomy, reproductive justice, and the role of doulas. We are joined by Tara Brooke and Gina Giordano, the founders of Doula Trainings International and Born Into This, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Over the last decade, Doula Trainings International has become one of the premier online and in-person doula training organizations in the world. With a network of educators, their team has trained thousands of birth workers across the U.S. and internationally. As of 2020, their professional membership for birth workers is over 300 strong, and they've partnered with organizations, social justice groups, and institutions across the country to provide free and/or discounted training to over 60 birth workers from underrepresented. Why can I not talk? As of 2020, their professional membership for birth workers is over 300 strong, and they've partnered with organizations, social justice groups, and institutions across the country to provide free and/or discounted training to over 60 birth workers from underrepresented communities per year. Their approach is unique because DTI has been a grassroots effort growing distinctly from the doulas and communities that they serve. As co-founders of Doula Trainings International, Tara and Gina invited thought leaders into their community to creatively connect, share resources, and examine injustices and privileges within the birth world. Inspired by the impact of those conversations and connections, the vision of Born Into This grew. Now a 501c3 nonprofit, the organization continues to produce conferences, workshops, and online content, working to revolutionize the world's relationship to reproductive health. Let's welcome Tara and Gina to the show.
Hi, and welcome Tara and Gina today. They are the founders of Born Into This, which actually started as a reproductive justice conference and has now morphing into a nonprofit. So we are super glad to have you two here with us today.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and just get right into it. Can you speak a little bit to what brought you to the point of creating Born Into This and how that is evolving today?
Absolutely. So originally, Gina and I created Doula Trainings International, or it's broadly known as DTI, which is a doula training and also offers certification for doulas, both birth and postpartum. And then eventually we transitioned into full spectrum care. And we also train and certify childbirth educators through that program. And so after 10 years of training doulas, we went ahead and started a conference that was called Born Into This. And it was very well received from the beginning and really gave us, as founders and creators in the reproductive health space, kind of a sandbox to really play with what else can we talk about in the spectrum of reproductive health. And so much needs to be talked about. I mean, especially like in these political times, which I'm sure we'll get more into, our education around our bodies and our healthcare, you know, abortion, all of these things are always under threat. And so we do need to talk about them. And we wanted to have a space where we could have these conversations. And so Born Into This was born. And it went from being a conference curated from DTI to having its own nonprofit status and sister company to DTI.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I will just throw this in there that DTI is what I had my certification through for my doula training. So that's how we have this connection with you too. It's a fantastic organization. And just to briefly speak about doulas right now in that respect, in this time when many people cannot have a doula be present with them at their birth, is it still beneficial to hire a doula now? And what does that look like?
Absolutely. First of all, I'd just like to say that every pregnant person deserves support. And support can't just come from one person. So if you do have a partner, it's not always the partner's like sole responsibility to not, or to be your sole support, right? I always kind of talk about it as like a coach, a doula is a coach. And if the partner is supposed to be that coach, but they've never actually played the game before, it's hard to step into that role. And the partner is going through this huge transition and emotional process as well, and also needs someone there as an advocate, coaching them through that process. So, that said, you know, the doula's role is so big and so needed, and every pregnant person needs a team by their side. And so I think the virtual support now is needed more than ever. And, you know, doulas were actually giving virtual support before we found ourselves in a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now we've really been needing to all step up and meet, you know, our clients where they are and meet those fears where they are and be talking about the pandemic plus pregnancy plus parenthood plus transitions, mm-hmm. And how we can support them through all of that. So yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's really, I think COVID has drawn out a lot of things that have not really been thought through in so long. And those of us who are in the birth world, who have practiced as doulas for a long time, we have watched birth work evolve over time into different elements. So, you know, when you heard the word doula 20 years ago, it was very focused around birth. And then, you know, postpartum kind of started to creep in a little bit. And now we're talking about reproductive health and death doulas and abortion doulas. And I think it's like, you know, at Born Into This and at DTI, we really like to take the idea of what a doula is and take it out of the box and apply it to so many elements in life. And I think it's just been really interesting to see how doula work has evolved over 20 years. And now that COVID is here, people are getting really creative with how doula work looks. And I don't think that it means that we have to be out of birth for 30 hours. It can be something different. And it's nice to see that this is really being played with in a creative way in the doula world now.
Yeah, totally. It's almost like this whole COVID and quarantine situation has almost highlighted where we really need the support. You know, like you said, it's shifted from this just birth and postpartum work to, you know, people are still getting abortions right now. People are dying right now. How can we support them? And I think especially too, is really highlighted going back to birth justice, just the, you know, people that are not receiving support that could really use support right now. Can you speak a little bit more to that? Just how you've seen people that you're working with supporting others that might not have even known that they could receive support, like doula support or even support from their care providers?
Yeah, I think what I've started to, you know, we're here in Austin, Texas, and I've really felt like the childbirth or the reproductive world here in Austin has stepped up in this communal way. And I, you know, we've tracked stories from pregnant people getting injured or pregnant people needing extra support outside of their like practitioner's office. And I see the community step up. It's no longer one or two doulas or one or two midwives. It's like the whole community will show up and get the person meals and get the person a safe place to go and get them connected with the providers in Austin that can really serve them in their story. And also respecting, like, you know, cultural boundaries that are present as well. So I'm sure
I can't track exactly all over the country, but I've just been like from our DTI pockets all over the United States, like we are just seeing this rush of community stepping in, which, you know, as doulas, we've always witnessed, but it's happening in a bigger way right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're definitely seeing that in our field as well. Sarah, would you agree with that? That more and more people are starting to jump in
community-wise,
yeah.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, especially with everything that's happening in the world right now, a lot of issues are coming to light. And a lot of people are starting to recognize that we need more support, you know, both the professionals as well as just everybody. You know, we're in this interesting time where that normal support that you would get, being able to just go into your doctor's office or go here, go there, has kind of been taken away. And now we're left with this feeling of like isolation and not knowing how to get the support that we need. And so people are stepping up and finding new creative ways to be able to support people. And I think that that is actually making things a lot more available, because now we're realizing that not everything has to be in person. And there is so much that we can do from a virtual standpoint to support one another, to support, you know, our clients and our patients and our friends and our family members. And so I think that in a way, there's a positive light to all of the craziness that's happening right now.
Absolutely. And I think it's really interesting when you slow everything down, you see all the space in between all the things we were doing just got a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think those are where the opportunities are. And personally, I was excited when things slowed down just a little. You know, I get a little antsy when it gets too slow, but I think, you know, as a working parent, it was nice. I'm like not driving all over the world and I had more time to just be stationary. And I think that's really happening in the reproductive health space where people can just sit and be in their body and think and reach out for that support. And, you know, we've seen this huge influx of people wanting to become doulas. And so it's like, we have so much curiosity around that, where I think people are just excited to approach this world in a new way.
Well, and like you said, the slowing down piece is almost allowed for us to really see where we need support. Because when you're going all the time, it's so hard to really know what we do need help with. We're just kind of trying to do it all, and there's always somewhere to go and something to do. And this slowing down is eye-opening in a lot of ways.
I think some of the support needs have shifted as well, because as you see pregnant people choosing different kinds of birth, a lot of home birth midwives are, you know, booked with clients. They can't take on any more clients. And so the community too has shifted to like, okay, what do these home birth midwives need now that they have more clients than they ever anticipated? You know, so how can the doulas support those midwives? How can we get more resources so that they have enough of the life-saving medications that they need at their fingertips that they weren't expecting to have needed right now? And so I was really proud of the birth community across the country for really looking and assessing and shifting and pivoting their services, and also to help one another make sure that we could meet the needs of the community wherever that was.
Yeah, there's some really great things happening for sure. So let's pivot a little bit back to Born Into This. And, you know, initially, was the conference started a couple of years ago? Was that your first
yeah.
one?
3 years ago.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Wow. Well, one of these days when we're allowed to fly again, we'll get back down there for it. Definitely want to be a part of that. But how did the conference morph then from what just the event into more of a nonprofit? And then how did that lead to you creating your new book?
So the first conference was 3 years ago. And it really came from our desire to sit in a room and have conversations with other folks in a way that was much more inclusive. You know, Gina and I have been going to conferences now together. We actually met at a conference a long time ago,
yeah.
You know, for like 15 years. And I think what was, unique to our industry was that we had conferences that really were pretty static. They weren't changing much. There wasn't any evolution. It was the same people talking every year, kind of like, you know, these quote unquote gurus, right, who had written the books. And so they had a platform every year to come and talk. But there were lots of other people doing really interesting things and shifting the conversation. And so we wanted to go ahead and have everyone else come and have a platform. And DTI was growing and getting a platform. We had that space. We had some resources to really share. And so that was our first inkling, that we wanted just to do something different. And we also wanted to have some fun. I think, you know, there was like this desire to get in a room, have the conversation about the body and start like smashing some of those taboos, but then to like, you know, have some time to like have, you know, we did some tattoos, at our conference. We had happy hours. We did masterminds, something just like a little bit different that our industry hadn't been doing before. And so, the first born into this, was in Austin, Texas, and we've continued to hold it in Austin, year after year. And then the kind of broad space that we stepped into, which was all of reproductive health. It was clear to us at a certain point that the people in the room had so much to share, but we were all sharing it back to like the choir almost. Not that there weren't new learnings, there certainly were. But it did dawn on us, I think, after that first year, that we really wanted to include parents, and we wanted to include artists, and we wanted to include activists and change makers. And so then once the conversation really grew from there, we knew that creating online content and education, starting at puberty, going to menopause, was going to be a big step, and we had to create the nonprofit in order to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so many beautiful things happen at conferences. Like you said, you know, it's not just the content that's getting shared, all the connections that are made and just the memories. But yeah, but it's, I can see how it'd be very apparent that it's, that this needs to be shared with the world, not just, like you said, preaching to the choir. And so your guidebook is wonderful. It's truly, that I'm aware of, the only guidebook to reproductive health that is gender inclusive, that uses neutral language, and that even mentions reproductive justice. So reproductive justice is something that we have mentioned here a couple of times, but can you speak to what reproductive justice actually is?
I mean, yeah, reproductive justice is the commitment to making change in this space. And it's really, it's embodied in doing the work around that. It is looking at all people and all bodies through this, the same perspective and open, no assumptions, and just there for non-judgmental support, and being committed to doing this work for all people. It was actually coined by Loretta Ross, many years ago, I think in the 90s, actually, which when I learned that, I was pretty surprised, because it's just now, like in the last handful of years, getting so much attention. But it is like, that really is the foundation of what we believe at Born Into This, to like embody the work that we do. And, you know, thank you for the compliments on the book. I think we were really inspired to make this an interactive process for people. I think that like holds such power when you look at, you learn things and you turn inward at the same time. And so it's not just like studying what these things can be and do and how people go through this process. It's really looking inward at your body and your understanding of what you know about your reproductive health and what your beliefs are around your body. And what did you learn when you were a kid? What did you wish you learned as a kid? What do you know now? You know, it's really like, it's a lot to unpack. And so we made it this process where you can do exercises in the book. You can draw in the book. You can journal. You can bullet, whatever is helpful and however you process, but it's a, you know, guided experience. So it's just like, it's a more playful, fun experience for the person.
I think one thing that stood out to me was, when we were creating the book, was
how little we have been taught, you know, as young adults about our bodies. And at the same time, we're like hypersexualized with like very little knowledge of how to enjoy that sex or how to say no, or, you know, it's like, or, yeah. or what your options are, you know, these things just really aren't talked about. And then if you're going to like take it down a little bit and look at the system as a whole, every state has different laws around what can be taught. And so, you know, I grew up in New Jersey. I now live in Texas. Things are very different depending on where you grow up and who you are and what family system you came from and what race you are. And so that was something we absolutely had to write about. And I think in order to like inform the reader, it really took looking at what were you born into and what was your experience. And so the workbook gives the action to the reader to start exploring the things that we're really taught to keep silent our whole life. Mm-hmm. And then it does have the awakenings through that experience of, oh, I grew up in Texas. I didn't even have evidence-based sex ed. That's why my lack of knowledge is here. That's why I walk through life in this way and don't know exactly anything about reproductive health because it's not my fault. It wasn't given to me. I was told not to talk about it. And so then that goes back to justice too, right? When you're looking at the system, it's like what needs to change in order to really give people this information to make informed choices about themselves.
Yeah, it's upsetting to hear that reproductive justice term was coined in the 90s, like you said. It's not surprising that it has taken this long for it to reach. You know, Terrence, you're speaking about how you grew up and that, you know, this information just wasn't given to us. I'm just getting chills because that's exactly how I grew up. And that's something that now in my adult life, you know, every day I feel like there's just some revelation like, wow, I can't believe I wasn't taught this about my body or I wasn't taught this about sex. And it's just, it can be really frustrating. But, you know, luckily now we have people like you that are out there and spreading the word because our kids need to know this. You know, that's really where it starts. And I think too, having children also brings a lot to light as well. Just, you know, how am I going to do this differently for my own kids?
Right. And how we're going to talk to our kids about sex. Right, exactly. To me, is one of my favorite topics as a mother of three kids. And my kids, I mean, I wrote in the book, you know, that they're my biggest teachers in reproductive health. And thanks for like sticking with a mom who can't stop talking about sex and periods, which is really true. You know, we always just answered questions as they came in a truthful way and then allowed the conversation to grow or not. So I'm guided by my children and what I share, but I share a lot.
Yeah. It's interesting too, to watch the ripple effect. I have two girls, and when my daughter was in first grade, I got a phone call from her teacher saying that Zelda had taught the whole class that men can have babies and how babies come out of the body. And I was like, amazing. Great. And it wasn't you know, she was not in trouble. It was just like, hey, I want to know that these conversations are happening. And I'm like, I'm not surprised. And it's awesome. Yeah. Those conversations awesome. Can happen between, you know, little kids. And I think big things can grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and I think that's a big piece of it is teaching them from a young age, you know, and normalizing these things, because the way that we grow up, like you were saying, that plays such a role in how we view things when we're older and as adults. And, you know, the way that Steph grew up in the Midwest versus how I grew up here in the Bay Area is very different. Things that were talked about are very different. Now, my parents are from the Midwest too. So in my own home, it was more conservative, but the things that I was learning in school, like we had sex education class when I think I was in fourth or fifth grade, really young, right? Like, but that's the Bay Area for you. And I don't know if Steph ever had a sex ed class, you know?
I had what they said was a sex ed class, but it really wasn't. Right. terrible, terrible information that basically made girls afraid of their bodies and, you know, gave boys leeway to do whatever they wanted. So,
yeah. Right. Fear-based.
Very fear-based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's up to us now to be able to talk to our kids about this and normalize these things and make them feel comfortable and confident in their bodies and in asking these questions and having these conversations.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit too, just about, I really love how the guidebook, like you said, is inclusive to all learners as well. It's a beautiful book. I love you included artists in it. There's a little, if you're watching, Sarah's holding it up. But yeah, can you speak to a little bit just about the process of writing this guidebook and, you know, where you got your ideas from and what it looked like even just as two moms right now during quarantine trying to write a full book? What was that like?
Well, I do think that, you know, because we had been working on content in an educational setting for many years with DTI, a lot of the content we already have. So to be like super transparent, we weren't starting from zero there. That was really useful. We did have to kind of reframe and reword to make it appropriate for all ages. I felt very strongly that I wanted this book to be something that my 11-year-old could pick up, or that my mother, you know, in menopause could also use. And I think that there are learnings no matter what age. I actually think it's the kind of book that you could use at different stages and phases in your life. You can read one section, you know, if you're about to have an abortion and you want to read about options, you can pick it up just for that. Or if you're, you know, premenopausal or postpartum with a baby, you can read and just read those sections or take it as like a full journey of reproductive health. So it being the information kind of being translated in that way was really fun to play with and create. And then, of course, bringing in artists and visuals. Gina, you probably want to speak more to that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the process with this book. We really, like Tara said, we wanted it to be something that you can kind of pick up. And it's not like you have to, you know, sit there and go from like the beginning to the end in one sitting. It's meant to be on like a coffee table. So anyone can walk in and into your house and pick it up. And so we did want to make it aesthetically pretty. And we worked with a couple artists who one is really, really rooted in the childbirth world and is also the person, Cheyenne Varner, who helped piece the book together. And you can see her images kind of sprinkled throughout there and also the watercolor illustrations. Oh, Tara's holding up Cheyenne's, one of her images. In the other illustrations, like the one on the front cover is done by Kelly Colchin, who really looks at what people do and tries to transfer that to art. And somebody I know, she's known about our work for a long time. So it was just kind of like a no-brainer who we wanted to work with, but just trying to, again, like capture the spectrum of reproductive health and like the stages and phases of life. And we really wanted it to be big, like an art magazine. So you had space to journal and get creative and, you know, just have fun with it.
Well, it's beautiful. You did an amazing job and I read through it all and I really like how it is. So like you were saying, it's a guided experience. I haven't come across anything like this yet where you can actually write things down and then go back and be like, okay, well, here I had questions about this and this is what, you know, what I want to learn more about, and being able to write down those thoughts even as you're going through the book, and it might spark some things that come up, and just having the space to be able to do that, I think is really, it's just different and it's great. And I like how inclusive it is from all different stages of reproductive health, because a lot of times when you find guides like, you know, not necessarily like this one, but about reproductive health, it's very focused on one specific piece and there's so much more to it than that. So I think that's great. And this is going to definitely live on our coffee table in our studio so that everybody can look at it.
Love that.
It is really great too for pregnant people or, people who are wanting to learn more about lactation. You know, we certainly had so much content because of DTI through the lens of like birth educators to add to the book. And so that's also a huge gap in our learnings as individuals. You know, we tend to not think about pregnancy, birth, or that postpartum period or lactating unless we are stepping into that space. So in my career as a doula, most people that hired me were like, I haven't really thought much about this until now, you know? And so that book, this book really does try to engage a younger and younger audience to start learning those things before. That's very intentional for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. You know, kind of like back to what we were speaking about teaching our kids and, you know, having this be an open conversation that this is how it starts. And the guidebook makes that very easy.
Given that we can't meet in person, are you guys planning to do a virtual version of your event anytime soon?
So we just actually wrapped a virtual version of our Born Into This conference, which actually went so much better than I could have imagined, not ever thinking until a pandemic what that would look like, right? So we're really proud that that happened. Folks can still buy digital tickets if they want to tap into that or go to Born Into This's website, which is weareborninintothis.com. And our Instagram handle is @bornintothis.co. So all of that content is live and can be viewed on the site. You can also buy the book there as well. And anyone that wants to become a doula can visit weardti.com and all of our trainings are listed there for the year. And actually, our 2021 training schedule will be live in like, what, I think on the 27th. Is that correct?
11 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I did that math right.
Our Instagram for DTI is @doulatrainingsint.
Great.
And after this pandemic passes, or I guess we really have no idea how long this is going to go for. So are you planning to continue to offer this virtually depending on the climate of the world and hopefully get back to being able to do your event in person?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you asked that because right before we did the virtual pivot for this year, we were like, we can't wait to get back in person. And we really can't. Like, we really do. This conference is like meant to be in person. However, now that we've done the virtual one, there was so much opportunity that was made by pivoting. We, like, so many more folks had the ability to access the conference. Because, you know, when you attend, you guys, we've seen you at conferences before. There's the flight, the accommodations, the tickets. You know, it's a hard event to financially wrap your mind around. So doing it virtually opened it up to so many more people. So we really don't know what it's going to look like in the future. I can see some virtual pop-ups, maybe continuing to do one virtually every year and then some in person, maybe a mix. We don't really know, but there was definitely this amazing new feeling that we had with the virtual conference that just wrapped like a month ago. And yeah, we're excited to see where it takes us.
And then as far as doula trainings, DTI has actually been producing online doula trainings for 5 years now. And so we were really lucky to have already had that up and ready. And so our schedule hasn't really changed. We've actually offered more trainings than we usually do online. And so that will just continue through next year until all of us know anything different.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations to you both. You have created something truly incredible, both through DTI and Born Into This, and we're really excited to see where this road takes you and to hopefully be able to be a part of one of your conferences. We wanted to come, I think it was the year before this one, and it fell like 2 weeks before my due date.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, but
plenty of doulas and birth support.
Just have my baby on the screen. Okay. I'd be in good
hands. Live birth.
You'd be well supported. That's for sure.
So we do really hope to make it, you know, now that we are done having children. So we both think.
That's right. I know.
Because you never fully know, right? But
you never know.
Yeah. So we're excited. And thank you so much for joining us. This was a really...
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. Please be sure to subscribe to the Motherload podcast so that you can stay up to date on all of our future episodes. We'll see you next time.